Hi, everybody, and welcome to a SearchCloudStorage.com podcast. I'm Rachel Kosman, Assistant Site Editor with the Cloud Storage site. I'm here in the studio with Terry McClure, a Senior Analyst at Enterprise Strategy Group, to talk about cloud washing. Hi, Terry. Thanks for being here with me today.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for the invitation.
No problem. So let's get started by defining cloud washing, a term that gets tossed around quite a bit. What does it mean to you?
Cloud washing to me means taking technology that was invented 5, 10, even 15 years ago and just saying, hey, this is a cloud. This is cloud ready. This is a cloud infrastructure. This was designed to support the cloud. Seems like just about every technology that ever existed right now is cloud something or other in the marketing collateral. So I guess if I really had to sum it up, I'd just say it's rebranding all of your marketing collateral to make sure the word cloud is included on every single line.
Okay. So we hear a lot of analysts say that there's really no such thing as a private cloud because the private cloud is similar to a traditional centralized IT setup. Some people say that this fuels the cloud washing phenomenon. Would you agree with this?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and I guess I'd agree somewhat. I mean, private cloud is IT. It's what the IT department does. It provides IT services to the rest of the business. But, you know, we can't ignore the fact that there's an IT transformation going on, too, and virtualization and some new technologies that have been developed over these past couple of years are giving an IT department an opportunity to transition and leverage these technologies to make more of a services-oriented architecture and to start looking more like services that you could get by subscription, offering storage services back to the business, offering application services back to the business. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just IT, but IT is certainly benefiting from a lot of the technology that's been developed to support highly scalable cloud environments.
Okay. So what are the characteristics a product or service needs to be truly cloud?
Well, I think you need to start with a shared infrastructure, because if you're not sharing, then you probably are running more of a traditional IT infrastructure with dedicated applications and application servers and some sort of storage bank and infrastructure. So I think you need to start with a shared infrastructure. It needs to, however, be able to be virtualized and sliced and diced with secure multi-tenancy. You have to be able to do chargeback, and you have to be able to pay by the drink. You don't want to, you know, buy it in very huge chunks the way we do today. You want to just pay for what you use. And you have to have enterprise-class SLAs. You know, I guess you don't have to have enterprise-class SLAs to be considered cloud, but for cloud to be useful to enterprises, there needs to be robust SLAs that guarantee some level of data availability.
Great. That's really helpful. Thank you. So now let's say that you're a storage pro and you're receiving lots of information from vendors who say that they have added cloud or cloud service features to their product. What are some cloud washing red flags that you can notice?
Well, the first thing you need to do is ask the vendor to find what they mean by cloud or cloud service. When they start talking about that, and you start talking about that and questioning them, you may find out that they're talking to you about the exact same thing they were talking to you about last year or the year before, that they were calling something completely different. So are they offering the same thing they were 2 years ago and just cloud washing it, or is there something new and innovative? So then start asking the vendors to define what they're doing differently to enable this type of cloud service. Is it more of a services-oriented infrastructure? What type of management tools? What type of multi-tenancy is there? And if they start saying, oh, we're working on multi-tenancy, we're not quite there yet, or they start describing, again, things that you bought last year and they're just calling it something slightly different, then you can be pretty sure you're down the road of a cloud-washed older technology that's not really invented for today's new paradigm of shared infrastructure, services-oriented architectures.
Okay. As an analyst, I'm sure you talk to lots of customers. Do you find a lot of people tell you that they're using the cloud when, in fact, they actually aren't?
So it's pretty interesting. When you get a mix of reactions to the cloud, I have talked to people that are using that have created what they call a private cloud infrastructure because they're creating a large shared services-oriented infrastructure based on new types of technology. One customer I talked to is using EMC Atmos as a
big scalable object repository and a private cloud. When it comes to public cloud, we're actually finding that there is probably more adoption than one would suspect, but it's really in the software as a service category. In fact, in recent research that ESG's done, we found that 34% of the people we've spoken with have adopted some level of software as a service supporting more and more of their applications. But it's interesting because we're also seeing that enterprise customers are far ahead of small and medium-sized enterprises, which I guess makes sense because when it comes down to it, larger enterprises have a lot more applications that they could turn around and look at and examine as candidates to go out as software as a service. So we're seeing a fair amount of uptake of software as a service. Infrastructure as a service, like going out and buying compute cycles or storage cycles, is lagging software as a service somewhat. And that makes a lot of sense, too, when you start thinking about how the maturity level of each. We've actually been not calling it cloud, but software as a service has been around for a lot longer than infrastructure as a service. So it makes sense that it's a little bit more mature and a little bit more broadly adopted, whereas infrastructure as a service has only been around for a year or two. So about 17% of the people we've spoken with have adopted infrastructure as a service. And again, enterprises seem to be leading the way in that adoption ahead of small and medium-sized enterprises, largely because they have a lot more candidates for going out and sourcing cloud solutions for. So we're seeing some, it's still early yet, of those people who have adopted. There's not a large percentage of their applications or infrastructure that they've adopted. But, you know, a lot of the customers we talk to actually are using some form of cloud services.
Well, that's really good to know. Our last question is, which criteria should storage pros keep in mind when they're defining cloud services for themselves so that they can avoid cloud washing?
Well, when storage pros are looking at subscribing to a cloud storage service, you know, there's a lot of service providers out there that are kind of disguising classic outsourcing deals as cloud, where you subscribe, but you're actually getting asked to pay for your dedicated infrastructure and dedicated piece parts and just having somebody else run it. That's outsourcing. That's not cloud. That's more of a traditional model. So you should keep in mind, is it a shared storage infrastructure? Am I benefiting from the economies of scale that come from a shared storage infrastructure? Then, of course, ask about multi-tenancy and security technology to make sure that you're okay. But, okay. You know, it's important that you don't fall for some of these just repackaging of existing offerings that may be more expensive for you in the long run because it's just people calling outsourcing cloud. That's one of the primary things to watch out for. And when building a private cloud, it's asking those questions and ensuring that the technology that you're talking about is something that can be truly shared, it can be truly virtualized, and where you can get the economies of scale and the flexibility and fluidity of a services-oriented architecture. Because if it's the traditional stovepipe infrastructure, when you start asking those questions, you're going to find out pretty quickly that it's not capable of doing it, and that is truly cloud washing.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Terry.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure, Rachel. Thanks for having me.